Genesis 17, verse 15. We just went through circumcision. We studied it. We looked at it inside out, so to speak.
He's
got, there's an edit. There's an. He's gonna look at. He's got it. He's got the power now. He's got the power. He'll just zap
Pope
anything
Rex.
Out.
Pope Rex decrees.
Pope Rex decrees. This is out.
Bless you, my chair.
You want to back up the
all you dangles get off
fool with all that.
If anybody ever does listen to these tapes, for the first 5 years, you and I are the only people in Bible study. After that, it's just you and Rex.
Yeah.
Suddenly, as if in the twinkling of an eye.
When you gave up the tapes, you gave up a lot.
That's right.
Oh, did you give up the tapes? All the
tapes? Just take my tapes.
Wow. I knew you were doing tapes.
So all your funny bits get left out.
He's having a wonderful time.
All right. And God said unto Abraham. Now, we've just seen Abram has just had his name changed. Did we talk about the Ha Abraham, the how the Son of God, the Yahweh, the okay. The tribal. ABBA. Okay. Well, now Sarah is brought into the family. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed.
Not smart. I thought she laughed too. Didn't
she? Well, she laughs later.
He is
when
so
he tells
much
her she's not there, but she still thinks it's good.
And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Obviously, he's asking that Ishmael be the child of the promise, the heir. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, or Sarai, in the Hebrew means she that strives. But it also means she that endures. And the word is used in childbirth. It's the word Sarai that you would call the process of going through the striving through the pain of childbirth, and then the child is brought forth. And that process is called a Sarai, or Sarai, Sarah's name. It's she that endures, or she strived and endured against hope. Okay, to endure, to strive and to endure against hope. That's a biggie.
What is that?
Endure when there is no hope?
There is no hope.
You endure even though you don't think there is any hope.
To your senses.
Sort of like fasting.
Hmm?
Like that instead of...
There is a whole group of... Whole group, there's not that many. There's probably less than 100,000 of them anymore in the world. They're called Hasidic Jews. Most of them are in Brooklyn. There's a few in Israel. They believe that the present state of Israel is a lie, is a sham. They pray for its destruction 3 times daily. They believe that the true Israel must only and can only be established by the Messiah, and no one can be killed for the purposes of it. In other words, it has to be miraculously established. And so anyway, they know that they have to, in order for them to be Jews, there has to be a temple, and there has to be the sacrifices. They know that they are without hope in terms of their own purpose in living. But they are continuing for the purposes of Messiah. Now, it's to me, when you see that, that's why I hate the word. I mean, to use the word as some people do, that, you know, well, you know, it's like they put on the air of Christianity, but it's cost them nothing. It makes me sick. I mean, it's like, I you know what I mean. Here, Sarah strived against hope, and they would say to me, well, Jesus Christ has brought all the promises, and all you have to do is confess his name. They don't even know what the word confess means. There is a cost to the human condition. There always has been. There is a cost to the human condition to be acquainted and associated with God. There is a point in that walk where you must reach a point where you have no hope. This is the example of it. The greatest example of faith that we know of is Abraham. Paul says that. He's the perfect Christian. Sarah's womb was barren. She had no possibility. She had no ovaries. There was no possibility of a child being born by any of the flesh senses. And yet a child was born. Now, I don't know if you have reached that point yet, but I promise you, you will. At some point in your walk, you will reach a point when there is no hope. And there is a striving without hope. For what reason? I mean, it really gets down to, well, you don't have anything else to do. You don't have enough courage to commit suicide. And besides, that's kind of messy and it's stupid. You don't have any place else in the world to go. There's no other place where you can find life. And so you just sort of hang around. But it's really against hope. There's no hope. But it's all the mystery is tied up in Sarah's name. And it's really neat. The best that you and I can be after the flesh is the friend of the bridegroom in the parables. Let's look at this. So Sarah, her name is changed. She's striving against hope. Abraham's falling on his face and laughing about it. Abraham messed up a lot. I mean, you're starting to get that feeling?
Mm-hmm. Pretty far out there to fall down and start laughing.
He has incredible courage to laugh at what God says.
He's just incredibly abandoned. I mean, it's like he has nothing to lose. I mean, that's what makes me laugh.
That's why we...
He's just out there.
This is the lesson. What are you going to do? This is the point where you come, where we have... We are a people that are careful for nothing. That's why we are different than every person on the face of the earth. Your name shall be no longer called Sarai, but Sarah. The word Sarah is the Hebrew word for princess. Now, this was her rank, not because of her bloodline, but because she married Abraham. Now, let's talk about the word Israel, because that's where the biggie comes in. That's where all of the, that's where the goodies in the contract are to Israel. You understand that? Israel is Yishrael. It means from the root of the root. It's the word. It's two words. It's Sarah and God. Sarah El is the where is where it comes from. The word Sarah means princess, but it also means to prevail or to have power. And God, El, is the mighty one. The great revelation that Israel comes through Sarah from God. We are Sarah. We are Sarah. We are Sarah. We, as of the study of this, our name has been changed from Sarai, or enduring, to Sarah. Understand that? We are at this point, if we were really studying, as in the Hebrew language, there's no, we couldn't be studying history, we'd have to be studying, and it would be, and her name is called, and your name is called, Sarah. Now, we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, here's what all of the ancient documents said about Sarah. This is from the Genesis Apocryphon, one of the Dead Sea Scrolls. But all of the ancient documents said approximately the same. How lovely were her eyes, how delectable her nose, the whole bloom of her face, how lovely her breasts and all the whiteness of her, her arms how beautiful, and her hands how perfect, how lovely her palms and how long and slender each finger of her hand. Her feet, how beautiful and how perfect her legs. Of all the virgins and brides that go into the bridal chamber, none is more beautiful than she. Yea, above all women, she is beautiful. And her beauty is high above all of them. And yet with all this beauty, she is endued with great wisdom. Now hear me very carefully. That is how God sees us. Can you hear that? You must come out of the concern for the shell. This is how he'll see. This is perfect. This is perfection. My job is to present every one of you perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, according to the law, according to this law, this Torah, let me give you another view of the word Israel. You remember, everything that God does, you can do many things with. It's Sarah and El. It's also, the word Ish-ra-el, Ish-she-ra sees El, God. You understand? She sees God. That's what the name means. Now, according to the law, you can't see God and live. And there we have the cross in Genesis 15. Then in Genesis 17, you cannot see God and live. You are crucified in order to see God. You are dead. You are gone. You no longer, if you agree to this name change, you no longer have the right to yourself. And that matters not whether you're bored or happy or, I mean, it doesn't matter. You no longer have the right to yourself. You no longer have the right to a how-to. You really don't even have the right to how you believe. You really don't even have the right to whether or not you have faith. You've lost all rights to yourself. Now I promise you, if you can apprehend that simple statement, faith is manifest. All that faith means is you've lost the right to yourself. If you can go from Sarai to Sarah, from striving to prince or princess, and the only way to go there is you lost the right to yourself. You no longer seek your own. There's nothing about you that you seek. Nothing. You understand? There's never again any attempt to prove anything or to improve anything. You live spontaneously. You respond only to need. There's no need to change your circumstances. You just live spontaneously. Your response is to need. If there is no need manifest, you sit, you rest, because you're always at rest. That's how we as a body have to live. That's how you as an individual have to live. Can you see that? That's the faith of Abraham. Do you understand that if you are in a state of being where you are not really concerned with what happens to you, that you are what we talked about last week a little bit, but you're in a state of innocence. It's not, there are all kinds of, phony positions of that state that you can come through life, but to walk in faith means to walk being careful for nothing. To never even conceive of the concept of excusing yourself or, go to Romans 2. I'll show you something. Verse 8, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature, and the word by nature there is automatically, the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience being witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, I believe he's talking about us, that we do by nature that which... You gotta be tired of thinking about yourself by now. It's got to have gotten real old. Okay, now your name has been changed from Sarai to Sarah. From striving against hope to prince or princess. From owning nothing, from poverty to owning everything. From law to faith. That's what happened with Sarah right here. From judging good and evil to seeing Christ as all and in all. From condemning others to seeing Christ in everyone. From thoughts of self to abandonment of self. Now you won't do this. This will be meaningless as long as you still think that there is life in here. That there's something that you can do, then this, you'll figure it out, you'll get it right. If you're... As long as you think you have a right to yourself, this will make no sense to you. Capisce? The law says you've got work to do. Faith says, rest. Let what is be. The law says you need to change. I want to change. I've got to change this about myself. Faith says, I'm content. You understand that 99% of the time your mind is attacking the wrong problem? Most of the time you confront something. And in that confrontation, you exert energies or effort towards a target zone. And all the while, it doesn't matter what the target zone is. You've entered back into the realm of law. Can you tonight, do you have enough courage tonight to say to your life, I accept my life as it is, I don't have to change one thing about it? And be damned to anybody that says that I should change. Including this. When you act in innocence, you're not conscious of it. You just do stuff. You don't have to think about it. You just do it. Is anybody hearing me? Yeah. This is the prison that Christ wanted you to be released from. Proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. To proclaim light to the darkness, freedom to the prisoners. And some of you have been in prison so long, you like it there. You like your prison because it's comfortable. It's familiar. You've got things all nicely arranged in your prison. Another word for your prison is your closet. Things are perfectly arranged to meet your high place activity in your closet. You can go there for sustenance. That's the only way you have stayed sane this long. You cannot hear what I'm saying to you tonight unless you want to hear it. You have to be willing to leave everything behind. Faith is always a going out of everything that you have ever known. We have to leave this behind. We have to leave all knowledge of doctrine behind. We have to leave everything behind so that you can operate by impulse. Everything. I ran across something. I wrote down a prayer about a few days after I became a believer. This was 18 years ago. And the prayer was, all it said was, "Lord, use me up." And I just now understood what I meant. I'm going through this incredible thing with my physical body that if I stay, if I at all baby it, if I give it any importance, I can't sleep at night, my hip goes out, I'm dead, I'm gone, and nothing works, nothing is. But if I act as if it isn't there, today I was chopping, sledgehammering rocks, picking up these humongous pieces of concrete, throwing them around. If I act as if I have nothing, if I don't baby it, then I can exist. You have got to stop babying yourselves. You understand that? Talking about here. This is just a picture of it. I'm not even talking about the obvious babying. I'm talking about a radical revenge the moment your mind starts to think about yourself. Casting down the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you understood what I said tonight, then your obedience is fulfilled. You understand that? Now, revenge the disobedience. Revenge the thoughts about self. Revenge the babying of self. Revenge the pampering of self. Don't make faith a verb. Make it a verb. Don't make faith a noun. Repent. It's the moment you see yourself doing it. Radical repentance. Radical revenge. The moment you see yourself thinking about yourself, kill the mother. Don't console it. Don't pamper it. Don't consult with it. Don't negotiate. Can you see... Do you understand what would happen if you no longer thought about, you talked to yourself anymore? We've had this discussion before.
You have a lot more mind thought, a lot more to do.
But you don't have to ever, do you understand your mind is not, you sit there like half the time like lumps on a log. Your mind isn't being silent, your mind is racing. Your mind is talking. Yeah. What are you thinking? What are you thinking right now? Some of you, what are you thinking?
I can hear my mind talk. I can hear myself talking.
Mine says, as hard as impossible. I can't do this.
I'm offended at myself for how upset I get driving all the time. I was thinking, okay, start with driving.
Start with anything.
I had just been thinking about what I touched with you about this morning, that what's happened since Tuesday is that, like, to come in here and say I've been fearful was really like to stand in front of it and how different everything looks to me. It's like things that have happened over the past 4 years have started to make some sense. It's weird being here. It's like everything you're saying and everything you're reading, it's like, it's incredible. So, I mean, all I can hear what you're saying is freedom.
If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. You can't have a single eye with a double mind. You understand that? If your eye is double, even the light that is in you is darkness. The ancient mystics used to say the what they call the desert fathers. You know about those guys? In the early years of Christianity, they went out and lived in the desert alone. They did all the stuff that these, all the yoga postures, they did all the meditation, they did all of that kind of stuff. In fact, many people say they brought it to India. St. John, any of you heard of St. John of the Cross? Well, he was the latest one of the Desert Fathers. They're called the Desert Fathers. Read them if you care to. But they talk about this state of being in which the whole human race is asleep, and that they, in their highest order of whatever they found out, are only... they're not awake yet. They're in this sort of in-between state. Awake is the state that um, But, you know, maybe one in a generation has, or, you know. But that the evilest thing that you can do is take a few things that you might have learned in a moment of this medium position and bring them back to being asleep. You understand? You have a feel of what I'm talking about? So you can use it in your own little dream world, because you create your own little dreams, your own little world, and you use, and hear me this, because this is going to be your next hot seat, you use the jewels from the kingdom in your own little dream state.
First they were just women, but then they started to speak and say, they make these really grotesque faces, and just, she said she was just horrified. I said, well, that's interesting.
Did she ever understand?
Well, I mean, I don't really even know as much, but I just told her the next hot seat took going to be about taking the jewels of the doctrine, like wearing them. Because we were talking about physically what jewels are making, because that's what she's been having a problem with. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's the same thing, you know, it's
way to comfort her.
the inner man and all the stuff, and all the paintings on and the layerings on of stuff to try to...
A lot of times I have a sense, I mean, who knows whether it's right or wrong, but I have a sense of what people are thinking. And it's really disturbing. It's out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks, out of the... What happens with me 90% of the time is I don't believe that you understand anything that I've ever said. It's like, how can you permit yourselves to go inward as often as you do if you've heard anything that I've ever said? How can you permit yourself to get mad at a car? Or how can you give something the right, or somebody the right, to define whether or not you're happy or sad? How can you give an inanimate object the right? I mean, it's easier to understand how you can... It's still evil, but it's easier to understand how you could give a person that right. But how can you give an inanimate object, a computer or a typewriter or a task or a building, the right to make you happy or sad? It's evil. That's what it is. It's worshiping the wrong God. That's what it is. You understand that? God has the exclusive right. But you and your mind choose the others. Because, you know, they're handy or they're who knows why. But tonight at least, let's recognize that your name has been changed from Sarai to Sarah. Sarai strove, hoped against hope, thought that endurance, enduring, I'll finally get it right, endure, endure. Sarah walked as a princess. Leaving Sarai behind. Can you hear that? This is your battlefield. Whatever you hear here will be tested in here. let me put it another way. It'll try to be tested. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or test what is that good and that perfect and acceptable will of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's enough. Take a big guy.